Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast feeds on YouTube. Like and subscribe there as well. Muchly appreciated if you do so. The Raptors lose once again. They lose 115-103 to the Brooklyn Nets in a in-season tournament game. They have a few more remaining after this. Not that it really matters at this point, because the Raptors have surely been eliminated, and they have been eliminated for quite some time now. But they lose this game. Just a game that didn't really feel, it was so uninspiring. That's what it was. It was very uninspiring. I felt like I was watching last year's team at multiple points. The team that Masai Ujiri said that he wasn't very fond of watching. I felt like I was watching that team tonight. Key stats. The Raptors finished 11 of 25 at the rim. Wow. Last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter, they're outscored 18-8. And at the free throw line, once again, they shoot pretty poorly. 12 of 19 from the free throw line. Not nearly as bad as the previous game, but they definitely left points on the board. Let's jump right to the last 4 minutes of the game. So right there, it's 97-96 around that point. And Gary Trent Jr. has made a couple of shots in a row. And it gets to that decision point where, okay, Scotty Barnes is going to check back into the game. Is Yak going out or is Gary Trent Jr. going out? And obviously, Darko decided to keep Gary Trent Jr. in the game. And I don't mind, you know, that decision considering how he was playing, but I do quibble a little bit with the approach to how they use Gary going forward for the rest of the game. They essentially kind of gave him the ball, and it was, you know, Gary, Scotty pick and roll, and it had mixed results. Obviously, with how the Raptors shot this game, what is the best solution? I'm not really sure. If Yak was there, you could run some Dennis Yak pick and roll. I'm not sure how Dennis was feeling. He got a Charlie horse off of a Mikal Bridges drive earlier on in the game. And I don't know how good his thigh was feeling, how mobile he was. But at the same time, you know, they decided to go with Gary and Scotty, empty side pick and roll. And the first possession, you know, it didn't go too well in terms of, you know, the outcome, because Gary shot a floater and it missed. And then, you know, they decided, the Raptors, to do a little hack of Clax, right? Claxton missed one of the free throws, and the Raptors get the ball back. And luckily, he missed the second free throw, so you were able to push off of that. And what I appreciate about Dennis Schroeder is, a few times now, when we're in these clutch situations, he's willing to push the ball down the floor and not wait. And it's actually helped the Raptors get some good results. And this happened again on this possession, where he pushed the ball up the floor. He found Scotty Barnes with a little hit ahead, and Scotty got two free throws out of it. So that was a good play. And on the other side of things, where it wasn't so good, at that point, after Scotty made the free throws, 103-100, and Royce O'Neal made four threes in the fourth quarter. Okay, a few of them, you know, one of them is a pull-up heat check three, it felt like. The third of his four threes on Chris Boucher at the top of the key. You know, you live with that. That is what it is. But a few of the other ones, it was pretty much him being disregarded. The Raptors are offering nail help, and he makes a shot from the wing. And then there was another one where they ran some double staggers, and he flared out again to the wing, and he made a shot. On this possession, so you had Pascal Siakam, he gets switched on to Spencer Dinwiddie, and he's at the top of the floor, and he's taking on that matchup. I don't mind Pascal going one-on-one in that. I think he's mobile enough, and Spencer isn't like that quick, you know, where he's going to blow by Pascal. I thought Pascal would do okay in that situation, but Dennis, you know, decided that he was going to stunt and recover. And, you know, at one point, Spencer drives and, Dennis stunts a little bit too hard and Royce O'Neal relocates to the corner and he hits his 4-3. Now it's 106-100. After that, I mean, Pascal misses a makeable chip shot. As I said, they shot 11 of 25 at the rim tonight. And then afterwards, Gary misses a makeable floater in transition. Once again, it was Dennis with the hit ahead and it was a decent shot, but he missed it. But you're still in a position where you could potentially get, you can come back and make something happen here. I did forget that there was a possession where off of one of Gary's missed floaters, Cam Johnson, OG, Gary, they're all trying to get the ball. And for some reason, I'm not really sure why, Cam Johnson, he's awarded two free throws out of it. It felt like a jump ball kind of play, but unfortunately for the Raptors, Cam Johnson gets two free throws out of it. And that did kind of change the momentum of the game a little bit. That made the game, 102-96. And then after that, Nick Claxton makes one of two free throws, and then Royce O'Neal ends up hitting that three-pointer that I just mentioned, and it's 106-100, and the Raptors have the ball. Pascal Siakam is backing down Mikal Bridges on a post-up, a matchup that you like, right? And it's Dennis Schroeder. He's pushing the ball, and the Raptors get this possession. And unfortunately, Pascal misses it. Very makeable shot. It just doesn't go down. Scotty Barnes gets a tip-in attempt. It doesn't go down either. But even at that moment, it's 106-100 with 120 left in the game. And if you play a good possession of defense, you can still, conceivably win this game. And luckily, for the Raptors, Pascal Siakam, he gets switched on to Mikal Bridges one-on-one in isolation. And Pascal did a pretty decent job keeping up with Mikal Bridges, which makes me think, he probably could have done that against Spencer Dinwiddie earlier on. But anyways, the Raptors were running the floor, and unfortunately, once again, Gary Trent Jr., he misses a running pull-up shot, and off of that, it felt like, I guess, the game was over, or maybe that's how OG Anunoby felt, because he didn't get back in transition, and the Nets had numbers, and Cam Johnson, who was a trailer in the play, he ends up finishing the layup, making it 108-100, and that's the end of the game, essentially. There was another minute left, but it was all garbage time, so that's how the Raptors lost this game in crunch time. As I said, they were outscored 18-8 in the final 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. Pretty lousy number. Obviously, some of that contributing to that lopsided score is what happened in the last minute or so when the Raptors are trying to rally, they're throwing up shots and the Nets are making their free throws and whatnot, but not a great last, stretch for the Raptors. That's where they lost this one. There's other parts to this game where things could have gone better. And I guess we'll get to that now. But overall, I felt like it was a very sloppy game from the Raptors. As I said, it did feel like I was watching last year's team, the team that Masai Ujiri is quoted saying he didn't enjoy watching. Well, this was very close to that team. They had 27 assists on 39 of field goals, but it just didn't feel like that. The ball wasn't really humming. And you just look at the beginning of the game, OG starts with two bricks, and as in, he didn't even touch the rim on some of these shots. And it seems like the Raptors like to engage him early on offense. And I'd have to look at the numbers, but I don't think it's gone very well over the past few games. But again, I'd have to look at it. And then outside of that, Pascal Siakam had three wide open threes. We know how he's been shooting. Not good. And he missed all of them. Obviously, in the first quarter, he did kind of find a groove a little bit. I think he had 8 points in the quarter. So he did find himself. But it's like these kinds of momentum plays that if they're just not going down, all of a sudden, maybe a quarter where you score 21 points, maybe it's 29, maybe it's 30. Because this is how, team basketball goes. Everyone's feeding off of each other. And a lot of those shots, Pascal was wide open. No one's around him. And he missed them. So that's how that went. And also Scotty Barnes, I felt like he kind of started the game pretty slow as well. He fell asleep on defense. There was a backdoor cut from Bridges that he was faulted on. And also his man just beat him in transition at one point. And he just blew by him and he got an open layup out of it. There was another miscommunication between Malachi and Scotty on a backdoor cut that, again, Bridges got. That's not a Scotty thing. That's more of it's both of them. It's also Scotty, I guess. But a slow start from the Raptors, and that contributed to, them being down by one after the first quarter. You look at the second, though, I kind of like the group that they use. Jalen McDaniels hadn't played in, five games, or at least he hadn't played anything outside of the last, 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter over the last five games. But he got some run in the bench unit. Otto Porter Jr. is not playing. I don't know why, but he's not. So there's that part. But it was a lineup of OG. It was Scotty. It was Precious for a little bit, but then he got his third foul. And then Chris Boucher came in, Gary Trent Jr. and Jalen McDaniels. And that unit kind of helped the Raptors find the energy that they are supposed to play with. And it was actually Chris Boucher who got the ball rolling a little bit. He made two threes and he had a layup in transition. And the two plays where he got, you know, those three pointers, that's what you kind of love, is it was Scotty Barnes and OG running a pick and roll. Scotty Barnes, he brushes the screen, he goes towards the rim, and OG finds him with a two-handed overhead pass. And it was a touch pass from Scotty to the corner that found Chris, and he hit that shot. And then later on, the Raptors are running some elbow action with Scotty, and, you know, Chris Boucher makes himself available at the wing and he makes a shot. Good stuff. And also Jalen McDaniels, he hadn't hit a three in I don't know how long. I mean, maybe it hasn't been that long, but it felt like it's been a long time since he hit a shot, at least from the three-point line. And he cuts from the free throw line, from the corner to the free throw line extended. And at this point, Dennis Schroeder's in the game, and Dennis drives and he circles around, and he curls, and he finds Jalen McDaniels at the wing for a three. So that second quarter, it was going pretty good for the Raptors, but then here come the Brooklyn Nets, and here come some of the issues that the Raptors have had with their shot selection and also transition defense. And that's going on a 15-0 run to end the second quarter. And obviously, I mean, some of the things that were coming up for the Raptors, it's their transition defense rearing its ugly head. You know, there was a time where Pascal Siakam, he's clearly back. You know, he's the person back. Probably, you know, he's guarding Dorian Finney-Smith. And for some reason, I'm not really sure why, you know, Schroeder just motions to him to take Spencer Dinwiddie at the three-point line, even though it feels pretty clear that Scotty or that Pascal is going to be on Dorian Finney-Smith. And then that leads to his transition three. And then Scotty Barnes, he took a few tough mid-range shots, like things that just were kind of ill-advised, and shots that the Raptors didn't really need, when, especially when the Nets were kind of finding their groove and they were getting intense and they were hitting their shots. You need some good quality shots at that time, and especially probably later in the shot clock, not so early, because it just kind of kills the rhythm of your defense too, and also your transition defense, and that is a factor in why we saw some of the things that happened with the Raptors late in the second quarter. Pascal Siakam had a turnover. Jakob Poeltl missed a shot that was pretty makeable, but he missed it. But it was Spencer Dinwiddie. He made a couple of really tough shots, and the Nets just kind of kept on going. You know, the Claxton, Spencer Dinwiddie pick and roll was a problem for the Raptors a little bit. And, you know, between those two, Dinwiddie was getting to the free throw line, or Claxton was getting alley-oops. And Claxton, you know, he's a pretty physical dude. He's got some bunnies to him. He had five blocks, I believe, in this game. And he was a problem for the Raptors around the rim just a little bit. And anyways, 15-0 run just like that by the Brooklyn Nets. And the third quarter is where things were kind of felt like the Raptors were finding their groove again. And what was nice about it is that I just mentioned, you know, Scotty Barnes, it felt like he was asleep at points, but first possession, he's a trailer on a play. He drives straight downhill and he draws a foul. I'm like, okay, so now we're seeing something from Scotty here. And you go through it, you know, Dennis Schroeder, he had 8 points in that quarter, a couple of threes. OG got his first three-point attempt in this game, the third quarter. The Nets, they limit corner threes. That is part of their MO. That's how they play their defense. They want to limit paint pressure and they want to limit their corner threes. And OG just didn't really feel like he was able to get a possession where he could get a shot off a lot of times. And even the three that he made here, it was on the wing. But you put some of these together, you know, Dennis doing this thing. OG had a sidestep midi as well. Scotty had an and one breakaway reverse dunk. That was awesome. And you put some of these things together, you know, Gary Trent Jr. had a terrific game, really. And it felt like the Raptors were in control of this game. But, you know, as we go forward, I already talked about the late fourth quarter and how things went wrong. But I think there's some good things that happened from the bench. You know, they outscored the Nets bench 39-32. They shot 6 of 13 from 3. It was actually the starters who kind of let them down. And if you've been following me on Twitter, I took a look at the net rating of the starters over the course of November. And any way you want to do the splits, whether it's like, you know, beginning of November to the end of November, the last 5 games, last 4 games, 3 games, whatever, they're a negative. They're a net negative. And I think, you know, with the energy that we saw, or lack thereof energy that we saw from this game tonight from the Raptors, it feels like, you know, this was a game where we're feeling, they're feeling it a little bit. I'll put it that way. They're feeling it a little bit. I didn't see nearly as much energy from the bench in this one. And there wasn't nearly as much, you know, hooting and hollering. It didn't really feel like they were having that cohesion that we had seen in previous games. And it's been a lot of losing. And they lost this one as well. And it was another very winnable game. And they let it go, right? They let it go. It's unfortunate, you know, how things broke down. It felt like, especially with the starter versus starter units, that the Nets just were able to hit threes and the Raptors starters were not able to hit some of those threes at the same clip that the Nets were able to. Obviously, I mentioned the bench. They did their job. They shot pretty well. But especially in that, you know, fourth quarter, I already mentioned that Royce O'Neal, he hit four threes in the quarter. That's hard to overcome when one player does that, especially someone like, you know, Royce O'Neal. Mikal Bridges got loose at one point from OG. He kind of just like lost him. He flared out to the corner and he was able to hit a three. That was late in the fourth quarter as well. But I mean, in the end, you know, it was 97-96 with 4 minutes remaining. Right. And, it was some of these things that I mentioned, you know, Gary Trent Jr. Do you want him to be the feature part of your offense? Do you want to mix it up a little bit? Should you have taken Jakob Poeltl off? I mean, it's all, you know, it's easy for me to say this now after how things went down, but, you know, Pascal got a possession, Scotty got a possession, Gary got a couple of screen and roll opportunities. He made a nice pass. He missed two floaters. Sometimes shots don't go in. I'm talking this out with you because I'm trying to convince myself too that, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad as I think it was. The defense wasn't good, obviously. I mentioned that Bridges shot that made it 196. The Cam Johnson free throws was awful. They decided to foul Nick Claxton, a little hack of Clax. So that was one free throw right there. The Royce O'Neal three-point pull-up that made it 106-100. That was a mistake. That was not good. And then, as I mentioned, Cam Johnson making it 108-100 when OG doesn't get back on defense after Gary misses a floater in transition. I mean, I hate to keep on like saying this, but it's just like they're finding ways, you know, to lose. And they aren't a team that has the identity, especially in the late fourth quarter, of what they're going to be. You know, we thought it would be at some point that it was going to be their defense. It's going to catapult their offense and that they're just going to be a really hard team to score on. But a couple of these leaky plays, you put them together and this is how you lose games, especially when you go through, you know, lulls where you allow a 15-0 run to end a quarter. And those are with all your starters on the court. Your best players were on the court for the two worst stretches of your game. Like, that's the facts. Late second quarter, late fourth quarter. Those are your worst stretches. You put those together. I mean, 15-0 run, 18-8 run. That's what, 33-8? A lot of points. A lot of points. And a lot of starters are on the court for that. Aside from Jakob Poeltl in the fourth quarter. But yeah, that'll do it for the game right there. And your starters get outscored that badly and some of their more critical minutes. So just looking at some of the individual performances, Pascal Siakam shoots 6 of 18. He had a couple of good moments where he's able to get into his mid-range. He's able to get into some post-ups. It does feel like maybe he's getting into his post-ups a little bit too often. I'd like to see him just like face up a little bit and just drive towards the basket, but he's opting a lot for his post up. So that's that one. But I mentioned the good defensive possession he had against Mikal Bridges. He had one earlier on against Spencer Dinwiddie, which is all more confusing. Why wouldn't you just let him guard him straight up when Dennis decided to help, which led to the Royce O'Neal three. Scotty, as I said, he didn't really feel like he was awake until the second half, but when he did wake up, you know, started to see Scotty, well, not the second half, I guess it was the third quarter or the second quarter too, where he was, you know, leading that bench unit that played pretty well. So I guess more so it was just the first quarter that didn't really go, didn't really see the energy from Scotty the way that we'd like to see it. But I mean, only two Raptors shot better than 50% in this game. It was Gary Trent Jr. who shot 7 of 12. I mean, by the way, I don't want to make it seem like I'm you know, looking at Gary Trent Jr.'s game as a negative. Like, he played 24 minutes and he had 15 points. Like, he made some really tough mid-range shots. Are they, you know, in the rhythm of the offense, or is it more, you know, him just kind of taking the ball and it's getting a bit stagnant and he's hitting shots because he's talented enough to do that. Yeah, sure. There's a bit of that. But fact is, you know, without his production, like the Raptors probably aren't in a position to win this game in the fourth quarter. So there's that. Jakob Poeltl, 3 of 5, continues to be very efficient. 9 rebounds. He had a nice stretch in the second quarter where he came in and he just felt like he had a bit more force to his game. He blocked a shot. He had a steal. He was grabbing some offensive rebounds. 6 points from him, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. A couple of elbow actions they ran with him went pretty well, actually. And then other times it didn't go so well. It looked like Darko Vujakovic was a bit frustrated after one turnover that Yak had. He called a very quick timeout after that. And he just had a look on his face. It seemed like he was very, very mad. So I'm not sure if it was Yak's fault in that possession, but there was that. OG struggled to finish tonight, especially early on in the game. I mentioned the bricks, but he did hit 2 threes and he shot 4 of 12 overall. 2 of those shots were some mid-range twos. One was a step back, or a couple of step backs, actually. He had 1 step back along the left wing. That was pretty nice. And another one was off an inbounds play where he kind of spins and is fading, you know, along the baseline. He hits a shot. It was pretty nice. So good on him. Precious Achiuwa did not have a good day. If you watch the game, it's pretty obvious that he did not have a good day. So I'm going to leave it there. Chris Boucher, as I said, great game, 13 points, 5 of 7 shooting, 3 of 4 from three. He has been, I'd have to look it up, but I think he's actually been probably one of, if not the best Raptors 3-point shooter over the past 2 weeks or so. You look that up while we're talking about this. Malachi Flynn plays 16 minutes, 2 of 5. He had 5 points. He had some good aggressive plays, I felt, in the fourth quarter. I've said it before that it's easy to see when Malachi is in his aggressive state. He's getting downhill and he's making plays, he's making things happen, and he's trusting his abilities. And sometimes, you know, he's not doing that. He kind of gets lost in the offense. And that's something he has to work on, is that he can't become invisible. When he becomes invisible, then he's pretty much, you know, he's not really a factor on the court. And that's a problem for the Raptors. So they need him to be his engaged self. They need him to be productive in his minutes. And he was more so that in his second shift than his first. But a decent game for Malachi. It says minus 10, but that bench unit, I mean, some of these minus plus minus is a little bit deceiving. I don't think he was that bad. But I mean, the points indicate otherwise, or his plus minus indicates otherwise. And, you know, the Raptors, they now go on to the Phoenix Suns tomorrow. That's obviously going to be a very tough game. And for Toronto, I mean, the losses are kind of mounting. Yeah. So looking it up as we were going here, last 10 games, Chris Boucher is shooting 52% from three on 2.3 attempts per game. He is the best Raptor from the 3-point line since November 10th to now. So he's shooting pretty well. So congrats to him. You know, he works on it pretty hard. He knows it's how important it is, and it's a key to getting minutes, and he's hitting his shots. So kudos to him. But yes, the Raptors, they move on to the Phoenix Suns tomorrow. And we'll see how it goes. Obviously the Suns, you know, they got Devin Booker. We'll see if Kevin Durant plays. We'll see how healthy they are. But in the end, I mean, the Raptors, they got to start winning some games. Win some games. They got to find their energy, their spirit again, because it was lacking tonight, despite the game being fairly close. Wasn't seeing the same team tonight. So anyways, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.